Let's talk about gaslighting in the workplace and how to manage it. Let's go back a little way and talk about the term gaslighting. Now, if you've listened to my previous podcast, you will know this, but the term gaslighting and its characteristics are derived from the 1938 play Gaslight, where one man's obsession with an old crime leads him to systematically manipulate his wife into thinking she's going mad. It is seen as emotionally coercive or controlling behavior, and the perpetrator is often doing it deliberately to suit their own ends, whether it's psychological ends, so a need to control, or whether it's practical ends, someone is trying to achieve their agenda. Now, whilst the original story concerns one of an intimate nature, it's an intimate relationship you're dealing with here, gaslighting can also happen in the workplace. It's worth noting that whilst it can feel personal and malicious, it's not always the case. Often somebody who is capable of gaslighting doesn't really see you as a person at all, simply as an obstacle to achieving their own ends. In some ways, it's probably painful not to be seen, but it could counter the pain of it feeling personal and deliberately aimed at you. However, gaslighting itself is often deliberate, systematic, and manipulative. And behaviors particular to it in the workplace can include emotional manipulation, saying things like, oh, you're just oversensitive. You always misread things. I knew you'd mess that up. Defensively projecting behaviors, if anyone dares to question anything, oh, you're always accusing me of, or you have trust issues. Blatant lying, for example, taking credit for work in an open forum and then dismissing any complaint with negativity such as, oh, you're hardly being a team player. Isolating someone from other people who might bring some perspective with extra lies. Oh, all I'm doing is looking out for you. You don't need people like that around you. Subtle control. You and me, we're a team. We don't need anyone else. And that encourages dependency. As well as the above behavior examples, in the workplace, you might also experience situations such as covert bullying and cliques. For example, excluding someone from meetings or deliberately making decisions when they're absent. It may even include playground behaviors, forming silos or alliances who all go to lunch together or socialize outside work, deliberately not inviting others. Similar to that subtle control, you might be asked to be complicit. So this might involve asking someone to sign off something that they didn't witness, or tweak a grade, or turn a blind eye. And if it's a senior employee asking this of a junior, they may even say, I'll take full responsibility. Don't worry about it. I know this company, to encourage compliance. Be aware of that. Another example of a situation might be dismissing ideas or being talked over. So this is not necessarily explicit as someone saying to you, oh, your degree is not worth anything, although that can happen. What is more common is being given the chance to speak, oh, let's hear from you, Audrey, but they're not being acknowledged or cut off before you've been able to finish. The problem with any form of gaslighting, especially in the workplace, is it does take a while for it to register it's even happening, and then it can be really hard to address for fear of repercussions. But there are a few things you can do. 5 tips if you think you're being gaslighted in the workplace. Number one, keep a diary. Record events with dates and times, because this can help reaffirm your memory and ensure that any discussion that you might have with HR later on is rooted in facts and evidence. Keep copies of written correspondence. Make sure conversations with the alleged gaslighter are followed up with an email summary. Even if it takes a couple of extra minutes to write that out, it can offer you further protection. A template summary might include, thank you for taking the time to meet with me. We discussed, my understanding of the next steps is. Number two, be aware of your options for escalation. Find out who the senior chain of leadership or chain of reporting is. However, where possible, approach the immediate manager unless it is about them, in which case you might need to speak to HR for advice on making a report. If meeting with your line manager or HR, write up an agenda for the meeting and remain on track using that agenda. Also bring in all of your evidence. You might wish to seek the support of a relevant union, and this can include having them join in at meetings to take notes, and certainly for you to have an extra pair of ears and eyes. Brief them on the desired outcome, brief them on what they're being required to do. Always have the evidence to present your case, and even consider accessing the whistleblowing policy if there is one. This will often be highlighted as part of the induction procedures, and follow that procedure. Otherwise, seek advice from your union, seek advice from HR. Number three, practice assertive phrases. Statements such as, I don't remember it happening in that way. Or, well, what I said was, especially with evidence, can help reestablish the balance of power without causing a confrontation. Number four, treat cliques with professional politeness. Remember, a clique is not essential for success unless, however, it involves a senior. And in that case, consider tips one, which is making clear that you've got a diary written down and keeping evidence, and two, which is being aware of your options for escalation. Final tip, at worst, maybe you have to leave. No job is worth damage to your mental and emotional health. However, do consider using the exit interview to give an account of your experience to potentially help those who remain. And that's all we have time for. But for more practical ways to boost your well-being, check out my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey T, Practical Tools for Everyday Wellbeing, or my Facebook page of the same name. Or have a look at my website, www.draudreyt.com, or tune in to the Wellbeing Lounge on Tuesday nights, 9 till 10, for your hour of mental health on NLive Radio.